Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now. And they're off. The National Dog off to a flying start there, bolting out ahead. And, oh, what's this? Looks like several of the Labour Dogs have given up racing entirely, instead choosing to walk around in circles, occasionally biting each other. Surely that's counterproductive. Meanwhile, I don't believe this. The Act Dog, honestly one of the shittiest little dogs I've ever seen, has managed to pull himself to the front by biting onto the tail of the National Dog. He's literally being dragged to a podium finish. Here they come now, down the stretch. It's the National Dog way out in front, followed by the parasitic little scamp from Act and some old man wearing a bow tie. Following them is a bright-eyed hermaphrodite, brimming with hope, representing the Green Party and bringing up the rear. That's right, the New Zealand first dog, who will surely be disqualified for taking a bite out of a Chinese Shar Pei. What a bitch.
It's political commentary.
Annette King has announced her decision to step down from Labour's deputy, with Jacinda Ardern set to replace her. And this morning we're speaking with Rod Oram. Good morning, Rod.
Good morning, Hannah.
How are you this morning?
Very well, thanks.
That's great. So we are going to be looking a little bit just at like the changes in the Labour Party and how Jacinda Ardern is set to replace Annette King. What does bringing Ardern in mean to the Labour Party?
A whole bunch of things, starting with her attractiveness as a politician. And she has a very good style, which resonates well with voters, particularly younger ones. And this came through in the Mount Albert by-election, which she won so handily. She's obviously also a great asset for Labour in Auckland, where they are thin on the ground with good candidates who can appeal to the electorate. She's also very good on policy, so she's done a lot of work in the children's area, for example. And she's less tested, of course, in quite what her leadership role would be in caucus, and she would be replacing Annette King, who has got a terrific reputation for being the very strong backroom worker who can, you know, bang heads together, you know, create unity. But it'll be very interesting to see how she'll find her own way of playing that strong deputy role to the leader.
And what does this do for Andrew Little?
Quite a lot, actually. There was a good sort of glow of reflection on him for choosing someone like this, but also being able to handle with skill and sensitivity Annette King's resignation. As you remember, a few days ago, she was staunchly rejected any ideas that she was going to step aside for a new deputy leader. And over the following few days, she had a good think about it. I'm sure some people were discussing it with her. But at that first point, where she was digging in her heels, Little stayed loyal to her, as every good leader does need to do to their deputy, and just let her make that decision, perhaps with some persuasion. And I think he handled that very well. However, he has a very interesting challenge ahead of him. Jacinda Ardern's a very capable politician, and she might start to outshine him a bit. So he only has a 7% rating in the preferred leadership stakes. That's
right.
The most recent One News Cormar Brunton poll, where Ardern has 4%.
Okay.
And I think she plays better with a wider mix of the electorate than he does, so it'll be very interesting to see what happens if she starts to edge ahead of him on that preferred leader role.
I mean, why is Ardern so likeable to so many? Because, I mean, for me personally, I really like her, but I couldn't tell you why I like her on a political level. I just find her to be a really, I don't know, I just feel like I can kind of relate to her, or she can kind of represent me. But it's a weird thing.
Yes, I think she represents a very different political style. So she's in no way divisive or combative, as many older politicians are. And her great line about, which borrowed from a great film, about paying it forward, i.e. you're trying to solve the problems that younger people have. You know, she is young herself, 36, from a modest background, has done well. She wants to make sure other people can do too. So she is very articulate on the question of affordability of housing, for example, particularly as it applies to a younger generation. So I think that people identify with her that way and like that approach she has. it'll be very interesting to see how combative she is when she needs to be. Mm. She doesn't have a strong reputation for being a great opposition spokesperson and debater in the House. Now, that's not necessarily a major stumbling block. I mean, she either could grow into that, or more importantly, should Labour stroke Greens form the next government and she's a minister, more important will be how she defends herself as a minister in Parliament. I think she's a pretty steely person, so I think we will see some very strong positions for her from her. But again, I think she'll be able to do that in a way that still keeps that respect of a wide range of people.
I also wanted to look at what this will mean for the Green Party working with Labour.
Very hopeful because of that broad theme there about how she works with people. It was very notable during the Mount Albert by-election that she and Julianne Genta, the Green candidate in the by-election, often travelled around together and, you know, got on very well. And so that's, in fact, they both do politics that same way, and I think they both relate very well to a lot of people. So I think it'll be a great asset to have Jacinda Ardern in that position in Labour to help create and strengthen those relationships between the two parties, which will they've got a terrifically difficult job ahead of them in the election to articulate a suite of policies that are both attractive to their own two constituents, their own two party members, but be able to offer crossover across the two parties, so you don't get a coalition that is rather split between the two parties, but manages to generate good support and across all the policies. And I think that Ardern and Genta are going to be important people in achieving that, building that relationship between the two parties.
Well, it will be really interesting to see what happens with this change in the Labour Party. So yeah, I'm pretty excited, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's big for Little, because he has now got to the point that his immediate predecessors haven't got to, which is of there are no former Helen Clark ministers left, there are no former leaders left in the caucus. This at last is a pretty fresh face for Labour, and also he's been bringing in some, well, controversial, some relatively bold choices of candidate, mm-hmm. Such as Willie Jackson on the left and Greg O'Connor on the right. So that's a good signal too, that Labour is, to use its phrase, a reasonably broad church.
Will this be intimidating at all for National Party, this decision?
They will certainly understand exactly how good a politician and campaigner Jacinda Ardern is, but of course they have their equivalent in a rather different form in the Deputy Prime Minister with Paula Bennett. Mm. Again, a very strong Auckland MP and you know, a very good campaigner. Quite a different style between the two of them.
Yeah.
There would be some people who, you know, would not like one versus the other, and you know, that cuts both ways. But in terms of having a younger generation of politician in that deputy leader role, who is a woman, who is in Auckland, this sets up a fascinating deputy leader to deputy leader battle on the stump.
Well, thank you so much, Rod, for speaking with us this morning. And yeah, it's been good talking about what's been happening with the Labour Party. Yeah, it's been great.
Thanks, Hannah.
Cool.
See you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.